this piece of an chilek dalid. Amud tough nun gimel. Bottom piece. Hadvigas al yona haram emes kam. Cook writes, Kol machshava sha'adam kono sabibira. It says, every thought that a person acquires, he acquires it with bira, with clarity. Thoughts of clarity. Harehi mechaya oso uma'odidoso. It infuses a person with life. And ma'odid means it gives him hope, it carries him forward. But any imprint of a machshava, which is not a clear machshava, it weighs on the spirit. Anything which is shayach to a person, lefi irech rechniusa, according to his madriga of his rechnius, mochrech hu lefi zeh lihiyos tamid holich umishtadl b'his barirusa. He says he's mochrech. It's ki'ilu he has no choice but to always be involved in clarifying it, understanding it for himself, kidei she'omid b'shlemus tziras rechnius. When things come our way, which we feel are shayach to us, we can't just take it as is and leave it at that. Everything needs to be processed. Everything needs to be filtered out. Everything needs to be understood as shayrish, how it could be used ideally, not just to get away with using it primitively. Don't allow oneself to be weighed down by not going through the process of being mevarer. Things in life which comes one's way, but especially thoughts. That which is most dear and most essential to one's being, which is the matzav hamachshava of a person. That more than anything needs to have bira. I'll explain in Mitzvah Shem. Muvan mizeh shehashi'iva hamaromemes es hakol hi efsher lihiyos acheres ki'im leishtava b'gufa d'malka. Shiyavigas hadvikus al yona sheina mishayres achareya shum davar choytzeis ki'im chamakor chayim baruch ni'or. I decided midway to save this paragraph for the end. If we forget to mention it, to go through it and read it inside, just remind me. But it's something which will need its own attention to. Rav Kook here has dedicated himself to discussing a topic which is very neglected. Something which just goes about with Hesach Hadas that we don't pay much attention to. And that is that one's thoughts need work. Not just need work, but need their own very careful study in terms of how to go about the inyan of tikkun hamachshava. The fact that I say it's neglected, I'm sure you all agree, that you can probably not remember a time where you sat in a shir or in a chabura or at a vad and whoever was speaking was discussing and telling the chavra how it's important to be mevar the machshavos and have machshavos tovos. What that means, machshavos tovos. We don't hear anything like that. We usually hear things like being machazik in limud haTorah. I would say tefillah, but it's not true. And gemilas chasadim, danin lekaf schos, lashon hara, halacha, maisa. Things which are nogea b'maisa. Dibur is even less spoken about, and machshava is rarely ever spoken about, unless it's in the context of dvarim which pertain to znos and to arayos and v'chule. But even still, people are afraid to talk about it publicly. And even more neglected than that is talking about the neshama. You forget about talking about neshama. Of course, it's the only one outside of the Chassidish family which really speak about neshama. But the deeper we go into the Kochas HaNefesh, the more these things are neglected. And Rav Kook says it's so sad in that the Machshava is who we are. I mean, it's the closest thing that we can think of in terms of who we are as physical people to the essence of who we are. Of course, the Neshama is our essence, but one step away from that, when we begin to try to connect to the Neshama, right, that which stands closest to the Neshama is the Machshava. And Rav Kook begins by saying that when Machshava has Biur, it brings a person to Simcha, gives him life, it's Ma'odid Osa. Whereas if there's a Roshem Shemachshava She'ena Mavur, it's Medake Yisaruach, it weighs on a person, it brings him down. Sfarim bring a remez to this concept that the word Machshava is the same osios as Besimcha. That when a person has machshavos tovos, it brings him to simcha. So mishenechnas adar marbin besimcha. The reason why adar is such a zman of simcha is because it's a zman of bir hamachshava. The whole Indian of being mevar and Mordechai from Haman is that Haman is the Indian of machshavos rose, and Mordechai is the Indian of machshavos tovos. Knowing how to separate and differentiate between Mordechai and Haman. Everybody has a Haman and a Mordechai inside themselves. So therefore the whole Avodah of Purim, at least the tachlis of the whole Avodah, the last thing which we're involved in is drinking Ad Lo Yada. Right? That the yayin is something which brings out a person's machshavos. It's something which we eat, which we drink, which goes into our systems and immediately it affects the machshava. It's mevayir the machshava. It teaches us how to separate between the Mordechai and the Haman, which is very difficult to do, as the Sfarim say, that Baruch Mordechai is the same gematria as Or Haman. But Yain has that koach to be mafrish, to be mavdil, to be mevara, the difference between Mordechai and Haman. When a person is osik in that avoda, then mishenichnas adam arbin b'simcha, the whole Indian of simcha is that it's connected to the machshava. A person can be doing everything right, all the maises are good, but if the machshava is not mevurar, then it brings to frustration. The person doesn't feel like he's getting anywhere, because real getting somewhere is to do with your machshavos. As the Baal Shem Tov brings, as he from the dinim in Erevin, he brings a raya from a sugi in Erevin, that a person is where his machshavos are. Where your machshava is, that's where you are. And a person can know where he stands at the moment from understanding his machshavos. For example, he writes, the Baal Shem Tov says that if a person has thoughts of kfira, of sfikus and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should know that at that moment they're danning him in Shemayim. It's his mandin for him, whether he should live or he should die. In the deepest form, machshavas are not considered to only be the root of who we are and what we do, but a reflection of what's going on in the higher worlds. The matzav of the neshama can be understood as a simen, as to how our thoughts are. If a person is standing in front of Hashem, the simen to that is that his thoughts are good. If a person is not standing in front of Hashem, then he has free rein to think about whatever he wants, and the mind will go wild. But if you're standing in front of Hashem, your mind stands in front of Hashem, and then your mind is very careful to behave. This is a segue into understanding how a person is mishtadel in Bira HaMachshava. When we take a look at Machshava at first glance, and Bira HaMachshava, it seems like a challenge which is a very big struggle, a mountain which is very hard to climb. In fact, the Sfarim say that the word Hirhur is a lashon of Har, Harim, which is a mountain. And it is, it's a very hard mountain to climb. Because we feel that the machshavas are beyond our control. Somebody says to us, how come you do what you do? The first excuse the Yetzirah says is, it's because I thought that way. Sof ma'aseh b'machshava tchila. Every action is a result of a machshava first. And so we can blame our actions on our thoughts. And we can blame our thoughts on who knows what. We don't feel like we have control of our thoughts. There is some truth to that. And that it's very hard to rein in our machshavos. But to think that we don't have control of our machshava, that's the first mistake we make. We are definitely in control of our machshavas. Now, we may not be able to grasp it and to hold on to it because it's not physical. We can't just grab it with our hands and say, I'm going to take over you now. The machshava is like an animal. It's trained. Once you train it a certain way, you have to out-train it. Such a word. To change how it behaves. It doesn't happen overnight. That doesn't mean we're not in control of it. That means that if we think that way, then we're already doomed. But because the machshava is so deep and it's in a place which doesn't go according to the normal laws of how things usually go, the more that we become aware of the tools which we do have at our disposal, that Hashem has given us, b'derech haseichel, and also b'derech haneshama, hakoyach, hamachshavi, we become empowered to say, I'm going to take control of our machshavos. And when we do that, and we focus on the machshava, we are getting to the root of what it means to be a Baal Tshuva, and to become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because every dibur and every maisa is rooted in the machshava. So instead of saying to oneself, let me address this which I'm doing wrong, let me try to correct my actions like this and actions like this, it would be much smarter, and this is the way a chacham thinks. Let me get to the root of all this. Let me get to the source of everything which I'm doing, which is my machshavos. If machshavos are machshavos tovos, I wouldn't have a havamina to do anything which isn't good. So forget about correcting the action. Let's focus on correcting the machshavos. That's how a chacham thinks. But we don't hear that so often, unfortunately. Because people don't know the tools how to deal with machshava. People don't feel that the machshava is in their control. It's dumb. A person needs to be an ish pnimi to understand that this is an avoda which is necessary to deal with. It's not a challenge which is beyond us. The first thing one needs to know is that although the machshava is a very deep part of who we are, and when we speak about machshava, and if we want to put it into a world of spheros, we know of course that there's chachma, bina, and das, which are different levels of thought. We can call das the external mind, we can call bina the subconscious, and we can call chachma the unconscious. We could do that. And as we go deeper into the mind, we feel like we remove ourselves from what we have control over. There is a place within oneself which runs deeper than even the unconscious mind. Without getting into the whole sugya, it's actually a shiur which is online on YU Torah, which is titled Heart versus Mind, which is the king, which is the real king. In there, we discuss what the tzaddikim discuss, which is that there's a place within the heart which is higher than the mind. and that's called the Ratzon. That a person's Ratzon is the ultimate Melech, and is Sholeit even on his Machshava. As Chazal say, "Bederech she'adam rotzeh leilech molich hanoseh." And if there's an expression like this in Chazal, fine, and if not, it's mekubal that there is. In davar omid b'fnei ha-ratzon. That means even one's machshavos, nothing stands in the way of the ratzon. The ratzon is called the keser. It wears the crown. The real king is our ratzon. And so therefore, if a person feels b'giyush, that his machshavos are so strong that he doesn't know how to deal with machshavos, ro'os and psulos and tmeos, the greatest yeshua that a person has is to know that if the ratzon is strong, then it will change the machshavos. If a person says, despite the machshavos tmeos, my ratzon is to be connected and to have machshavos tovos, and to have machshavos kedoshos, then gradually over time, the machshava will be mushpa in a way by the ratzon, that the ratzon will cause a change to think machshavos tovos. Because the keser dominates the chachma. And from that, it will go down the hishtalshalos from chachma to bina, then to das. But of course, there's a process. First, the ratzon has to affect the unconscious mind, then to the subconscious, and then to the conscious mind. And then it gets into action, and it affects a person in every single way. It doesn't happen overnight. But unless a person knows b'yidia berura, this is what Rav Kook means by machshavos beruros. Unless a person knows b'machshava berura, that his machshava is mavura to know, this is part of that process, that the ratzon is sholit on the machshava, then he's buried himself alive. You have to be aware of the koach haratzon. And the ratzon is something which cannot be taken away. It's lamala mina yitzahara. Of course, we can be mushbana, even things which we want. But why do you like things which you want? Because you do. Just because you want. You can't explain why you want the things which you want. There's a certain favors which the ratzon has. And therefore, despite the fact that a person's machshavos will become tame, there's a certain chayrus that the ratzon has, that the ratzon says, that's not who I want to be. And it's very easy to feel that way because a person knows that when he thinks improper thoughts, he feels yucky and terrible about it. There's no simcha in that. Fakert, it strengthens the ratzon to have machshavos tovos. And that's part of the chesed that Hashem does for us. That the more tame our machshavos become, the more sad we get, and the more it's machazik the ratzon to cause us to do tshuva. That's like a built-in tshuva system that Hashem made in the world. The chesed that he does, that machshavos tmeos, make us feel disgusting. And it strengthens the ratzon to do good and to have machshavos tovos. And when that happens, and that kicks in, it sets the person on the right path to have machshavos tovos. On another level, part of what makes the avodah of machshava so difficult is that, unlike every other aspect of the human physiology, of who we are, the machshava is a machine which is always running. And it's kimat, it's like forcing us to have to think about something. And because that's the case, we feel like, unless we're thinking about this, we have to think about that. But machshava's betelos. Person could probably count on his fingers how many meaningful thoughts he had today. And that's depressing. When we feel like there's a machine which is running, which is so crucial to who we are, that we can't put a pause button, we can't push the stop button on it. First of all, one should know that that's also not true. A person can choose not to think and to pause the mind, and that's actually a very good avoda for a person to engage in. Although, of course, like we said, the machshava is trained in a certain way and it takes time. The person has to work through the frustrations in that. But that's also, one needs to know that you can push the stop button on your machshavas. But because the machshava is always running, we feel like it's very hard to reel in. But there's a solution to that, that despite the fact that it runs all the time, we can have atzlacha. And it's not, the atzlacha which we're about to offer is not One, which is that the person should always have his mind thinking in Torah. How much Torah do we know already that we can start thinking in Torah? Are we going to go through like Masechta after Masechta in our heads? And I think Rashi's Allah Chumash, like how many do we know already? How many Mishnayos do we know about Peh? That may be a good Eitzah for Talmud Chacham, but for simple people like us. You know, somebody may say, think and learning. Think and learning, like, you know, what? How much do I know already about Peh? But David HaMelech summed it up. And if he didn't sum it up, then the Rama summed it up in the beginning of Shulchan Aruch. That there's a machshava that a person can use not just as a near mikvah, like our parsha talks about this week, but as a lechatchila. And that's the machshava of Shivisi Hashem Menagi Samet. It's a think thought of Hashem is around me, He's with me, He's in me, He's everywhere, everything is an expression of Him. Or if you want to take it literally, the Mishnah Berurah quotes this, you don't have to be a Kabbalist. You can look at the Shem Bir Kivavke in your mind's eye. And the reason why that's so comforting for us is because the world of Machshava is such a bilbo. Such a bilbo. This thought, that thought, out of my control. Things just pop into my head. Where did you come from? But the idea of Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samet, that a person places B'tziur or B'machshava, he puts Hashem there, that's a Machshava Achas. That's one Machshava, which not only solves the problem of all the bilbo in terms of the quantity, how many machshavas plague me, but in terms of quality also. This is a machshava which in sense, in the terms of quality, is stronger than any machshava which comes its way. This, by the way, is why Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is done before Shemona Esrei. It's not a coincidence. The reason why we're so mech ge'ula l'tfilah is because Shema Yisrael is the ge'ula for tefillah. The whole essence of tefillah, which makes a tefillah hatzlachadik or not hatzlachadik, is not how many times we shakel, or how much energy I put into my tefillah. As Sfarim say, the greatest hatzlacha in tefillah is not to have any hesachadas, that you're standing in front of the melech. And we'll get to why that's the biggest hatzlacha, hopefully, if we don't forget. That tefillah is a korban. And the most important aspect of a korban is that it should not be a balmum. More importantly, that it should be not the biggest and the fattest and the prettiest, is that it should be not a balmum. A machshava psula and a machshava tmeya is a mum for a tefillah. And so therefore, when you say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and you connect yourself to that Shivisi Hashem, and you proclaim Hashem Echad, and you let run through your mind even for a moment, the fact that everything which is Hashem. That's called Geulas HaMachshava, and that's the real Smichas Geula L'Tefillah, that Tzadikim say. Shema is the Geula for the Tefillah itself, and now you can daven a Tefillah with a Machshava Taiva, without Machshavas Tmeos. So therefore, it's not just Shema, it's juxtaposed to Tefillah, just because they're both important things and they have to go together. Chazal were just makbid for no reason. No. It's the hakdama for tefillah. You can't get into tefillah without going through the heichal of Shema Yisrael, Shema Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And this is a lesson that we begin the day with davening, and we take it the entire day. And that if a person wants to have machshavos tovos, if he retreats or even uses as a lechatchila the idea of Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samet, that's a tremendous hatzlacha. It's a gift which Hashem gave us. That which is the most simple machshava is also the deepest machshava and the most powerful machshava of all machshavas. And David said his greatest hatzlacha came from that. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samet. There's a certain tzaddik, he was a tzaddik mister. I forget his last name, his name is Rabbi Yehuda. He was a painter. And there's a book which is called Tzaddikim Yistorim Ledor Acharon, where after they died, those who knew these tzaddikim yistarim are the Chavraya Kedisha of the 36 tzaddikim, the hidden tzaddikim the Gemara speaks about, who are mekabel shechina every single day. So this Rabbi Yehuda, I think his name was Dilion. So he had Imam Mashi, he had Gilui Eliyahu constantly, he had kim, like Ruach HaKodesh, which seemed like he was from the Chozer, from Lublin. He was able to see what would happen to people. He saw from one end of the world to the next. He could see mamash one end of the world to the next. He had a mustache. He walked around with jeans, and he had a mustache. He didn't even have a beard. He was a mustache, and he walked around like a simple person. Nobody knew he was Lama of Tzaddik. He could mamash see one end of the world to the next. But those who knew, it brings a story there, that they once asked him, how did you reach such a madriga? How did you reach such a madriga? He said, the reason how I reached this madriga is Shirisi Hashem Lenegvi Samech. Didn't have to know Shas. He didn't have to be Makubal. He was all these things, but only because his mind was so pure that Hashem gave him everything as a gift. He made his mind into an environment which was so holy that all the Torah wanted to come there. It would run to his mind. He created the base medrash in his mind where all the Torah said, this is where I want to be. Because he made his mind a Havaya. And that Havaya was like a magnet which drew all the Torah to it. And all the Madrigas and all the Kedushas to it. He saturated his mind in Havaya, and that's what he became. And the reason why this is so comforting, and this leads us to the next idea about Machshavos. And it's what we said before. The deeper than our Machshavos runs our Neshama. And the MS, all Machshavos which we have come from the Neshama. It's like all the rivers, they come from the sea. Or they come to the sea. But there's a root from which everything comes from. And if the machshava is the makor for every dibur and maisa, the neshama is the makor for every machshava. And what that means is that in essence, a person has machshavos tovos. And they then become corrupted. Machshavos tovos become corrupted into machshavos rovos. But a person should be comforted to know that I don't have to create machshavos tovos. If I connect myself to who I really am, and I start to bring out machshava, then memela, I'll start to have machshavos tovos again. Because be'etzim, in my essence, I'm thinking machshavos tovos all the time. And so therefore, knowing that, the more that a person, he involves himself in mitzvos, and in kinyonim, which are machshavik, machazik the neshama of a person, which bring out neshama of a person, memela, the neshama will be molded in machshavos tovos. Because it's always being molded in machshavos tovos. It's just that a person, the more he brings out neshama, he starts to realize, hey, I'm thinking machshavos tovos. And of course, there are mitzvahs which are mesugah for that. There are mitzvahs which bring out machshavos tovos because they connect oneself to the neshama. For example, perhaps the most obvious one is tefillin. Tefillin. Putting on tefillin is like plugging yourself into an outlet. You plug yourself into Shemos HaKadosh. That's what it is. You put a box on your head, which has holy names of Hashem in there. What you're doing is that you're taking your head, which is like a plug, and you're plugging it into the wall. Boom, and you just charge your mind with machshavos tovos. Which is why Chazal is so makbid, you can't be misiach das from the tefillin. If you're not misiach das from the tefillin, memil you'll have machshavos tovos. Chazal don't say, make sure you have machshavos tovos while you're wearing tefillin. Because you don't need to work on that. It's not a struggle. All you have to do is make sure that there's no mumin. If you can make sure that there's no mumin, which means that you don't pull out the plug, then the tefillin will make sure you have good machshavos tovos throughout davening. And davening is when you need it more than ever. That's why you have to be careful. You say Shema with your tefillin on. The whole Indian like of Shema is what we said before. It's being making the mind to machshavos tovos with tefillah. Right? That's double, triple, 1,000 times when you have tefillin on, and you know what's taking place. Of course, even if you don't know what's taking place, it's still happening on some level. But it can become more conscious to you if you understand the process. So tefillin connects the person to the place where he's already having machshavos tovos. Tefillin is gematria machshava tova. It's also gematria Sur Lavavi Vichalki Elokin. So David HaMelech says that, Amen Neshama. That's why it says Tzur Levavi, which is the tefillin connected to the lev, Vechelki Elokim, which is the neshama connected to the mayach. That's where the tefillin goes. It's mechazik, the neshama of a person, because he has two, one in his mind, one in his head, which are really one. Heart is really one with one in his mind. From there come the machshavos tavos. So therefore, tefillin brings out the neshama, which is memela moli machshavos tavos, and ritzonos tavos. Another one is mikvah, for example. The Rambam calls the mikvah the das. Calls it taharas hadas, the Rambam says. It's a Rambam, not an Ariza. The Rambam writes that. Says that mikvah is the mei hadas, he calls it, the water of das. Going into the mikvah, how everyone understands it, it causes a person to get to a place where he can't go, or he has struggles to go by himself. If he feels the machshavos are out of whack, how do I rein these rules, bring these in? Go to mikveh. Tahara. Mikveh means tahara. Tahara saguf, tahara sadas, tahara machshavos, which is why people go to the mikveh before davening. Again, it's part of the hishtadlus to have tefillah nekiyah. Speak about the Yimei HaMitzarim. It's a svarim called Katnus HaMochin, which means that a person's mind becomes limited. It becomes smaller. It means that he can't have the great thoughts, the big thoughts, which he normally has during the rest of the year. And for us, we have a hard time connecting to this because it's the language of tzaddikim. We all go through stages of Mochin to Katnus, Mochin to Galus, but we don't really feel, perhaps, that during the 3 weeks, that I'm not thinking as well, learning, or I'm not connecting as well to Hashem as the rest of the year. For people who, like us, we're not so sensitive to that, so Mamela doesn't speak to us so much. The tzaddikim write about it, because when the 3 weeks would come, they would feel their mind shrink. Mama shrink. It's a tzimtzum. It's a time where the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and the Beis HaMikdash inside every single person becomes broken during this time. Some are margashit, some are not, but it happens. On some level, everybody is affected by it. It's called moichin de katnas, that the mind shrinks. So for tzaddikim, that they can't think in the Torah and in the sodos, and the very lofty high thoughts which it's supposed to think in, and that's how we live all the time, we retreat to Shivisi Hashem and Negvi Samech. That's the machshava, which is most appropriate during this time. It's interesting that, I'll mention it just because it's a nice remez. The Arizal has kavanos in Shmona Esrei during this time of the Yimei HaMitzarim, where he writes that in the first three brachas of Shmona Esrei, Magen Avram, Chayim Meisim, and Ata Kadosh, that instead of being mechavin the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei, he should be mechavin the letters which surround the Yud Kei Vav Kei. So like this. So in Baruch Atah Hashem Magen Avram, he should think when he says Yud Kei Vav Kei, the letters before Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is Tuf, a Tes, a Dalet, a Hey, then a Dalet. Those are the letters before Yud. Before Yud is a Tes, before a Hey is a Dalet, before Vav is a Hey, before a Hey is a Dalet. Tuf, Tes, Dalet, Hey, Dalet. When you come to Hashem Echayim Esim, Shem Mechavein, the letters after the Shem Havaya, which is a Chaf, a Vav, a Zayin, and a Vav. And then when you're mechavin Hakel HaKadosh, you should be mechavin the Atbash, which means the letters behind the Yudkei Vavkei. So if you look at the Aleph Beis going from Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet, and you look at it the other way, Tav, Shin, Resh, Kof, Fuchule, going backwards. So then a Yud is replaced by a Mem, a Hey is replaced by a Tzadi, a Vav is replaced by a Pei, and then another Hey is replaced by a Tzadi. So Mem, Tzadi, Pei, Tzadi. That's the Shem Yibachavim. Altogether, it's a gematria Shin Yod Nun, 360. And then he says again, you have to be machaving that again, in Ritzei, to have kavanos of Elokim b'miluai and Adnos, and is machav, also another 360. And he says that's the gematria of Sim Shalom, and when you say Sim Shalom, you have to have in mind the collection of these five names plus an extra vav, that's gematria Sim Shalom. So it turns out that all of these gematrias is gematria 726. 726 is gematria Shivisi. As if to say that when you put all the kavanas together during the Mehamet Sarim, they all total up to Shivisi. That's the kavana. That's the main kavana during the Mehamet Sarim. And that's how we live all the time, in a matzav of mitzarim, of gvulos, of constriction. Shivisi, shivisi, shivisi. Shivisi, shivisi. That's called the chayrus ha-mashala. Not just as a nirmikla, but as a lechatchila. That's called bir ha-mashala. Bir ha-mashala means all the different avenues which we've described, whether it's using the ratzon, or connecting to the neshama, or the segulos which one can connect it to bring out holy machshava, knowing that my neshama is always involved in machshava sabbos. That's what shivisi is. And shivisi is the ultimate bir ha-machshava. Knowing how to be mevar the machshava. When that happens, that's simcha. It's the greatest simcha to know that Hashem is by my side, that He's with me all the time. To have machshavos tovos themselves is the greatest simcha, like we said, machshavos b'simcha. Like David Melech, Shivisi Hashem, Lenag B'Sam, Kimi Mini Malamot. What a gevaldik simcha is to know that Hashem is always with me. That when I'm connected to Him, He's always with me. As the Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchim, that as long as a person is thinking about Hashem, nothing bad can happen to a person. It's a protection, Shivisi Hashem, Lenag B'Sam. A Rebbe once told a Maisa, my first Rebbe, Rav Chaim Brim Zatzal. He was a Talmud of many tzaddikim, Biskarov, especially the Chazon Ish, the Bayana Rebbe, Rav Chatzkel Abramsky. Rav Chatzkel Abramsky was a person, he was an amazing, amazing person. He wasn't just a dayan and a tzaddik. Amazing person. Rav Chaim Brim, he once went to visit Rav Chatzkel Abramsky in the hospital. He became sick. And he walked into the room and he saw Rav Chatzkel Abramsky was crying on the bed. He said to him, Rebbe, why are you crying? You must be in such pain to be crying like this. He said to him, I'm not crying because of any pain. He says, I'm crying because I make sure all the time to be connected to Hashem in my mind. And if something like this could have happened to me to land me in the hospital, it must be that I forgot about Hashem even for a moment. That's why I'm crying. Well, Hashem touches the pasuk, Ashrei Adam. I forget the pasuk. Ashrei. Of course, there's the pasuk Ashrei Ish Shel Ish Kachecha over the other mitzvahs. Ashrei Ish means Ashrei Afilu Bei Lamazeh Chazal say that the person doesn't forget Hashem. Oh, Ashrei Ish goes along the lines of Ashrei Lo Yishkach Hashem Lo Avon. Huh? Ashrei Adam. Ashrei Lo Yachshav. Yeah, Hashem lo avon, right? So if Hashem touches the pasuk, Ashrei Adam, praiseworthy is the person, Ashrei lo yachshav Hashem, that he's not thinking about Hashem, lo avon, he considers it to be an aveira. That's how he touches the pasuk. That's the taich of this maaser of Chatzkel Abramsky. That for him to stop thinking about Hashem, that's an aveira. That's an aveira. It seems like it's so difficult, but on the one hand, it could be so easy. It just means always thinking about the force in the world which is running and giving life to everything all the time. Of course, the machshava is a beast, and it's very difficult. But again, if we know how to have birah machshavos, it can be the biggest hatzlacha and the biggest simcha. And the reason why we chose to speak about it this week, because we have in this week's parsha that when Bnei Yisrael are sent back to Baruch Hu to take Nakama from the Midianim for that which they did to Bnei Yisrael, so they're victorious. V'lo nifka mimenu ish. Bnei Yisrael, not a single person was died in the war. And Moshe says, bring a korban. Bring a korban. What to bring a korban for? So the Gemara says, the reason why they brought a korban, and they understood it this way, is because even though midi avera yatsanu, we didn't do any averas with the Midianim, midi hirhur lo yatsanu, we were not fear from the hirhur. And for that, they brought a korban. We know bechlal that a korban ola is mechaper and machshavas. We don't have korbanos nowadays. We have tefillah, and tefillah is the greatest tool we have to have taras hamachshava. But in this week's parsha, we have korban, which is brought for tumas hamachshava. That's because during these 3 weeks, with the tzimtzum and the mitzarim, it's very easy for a tzaddik especially to lapse into a state of tumas hamachshava. That's what mitzarim means. There's a meitzah, there's a constriction on the mind. And according to some tzaddikim, even mikveh is taken away. Some tzaddikim say that they were mazhir very much not to go to the mikveh during the 9 days, because going into water, whatever reasons. And that's a mechama that the klipa makes against us, not to go to the mikveh. It also takes away certain skulos which we have in taras hamachshava. That's why it falls in this week's parasha. And again in this week's parasha, we lose Aaron HaKohen. Hashem says, go up to Hor HaHar and be laid to rest there forever. Now, Pinchas Karitzer writes that Hor HaHar, which is where Aaron is buried, is a lashon of Hir Hur. Hir Hur is Hor HaHar, he says. And what this means, perhaps, we can teach it this way, and that's why it's associated to this week's parasha, is that when a yid has machshavos tmeos, doesn't have good machshavos, so it's at the expense of Aaron HaKohen. And perhaps the reason why Aaron HaKohen, that he goes up and he's nifter on Har HaHar, that it means that if we sink into a place of machshavos tmeos, then it's the expense of the Kohen Gadol who has machshavos tahoros, machshavos tovos. That he's the strength of Machshavos Tovos and Klal Yisrael, Tzaddik. And we know that the Yom HaPtira of Aaron HaKohen is Rosh Chodesh Av. It's today. It's tonight. This is the day that we lose Aaron HaKohen to the Anhar HaHar. What that means Bechlal for the 9 days is that we lose Aaron HaKohen, what he stands for, and it comes to be mechaper on the Hirhurim of Bnei Yisrael. Because of the Hirhurim, that they take a huge dive, a huge nefila, which is at the root of the loss of Aaron HaKohen. What that means for us during the 9 days is to be mechazik ourselves in machshavos tahoros, machshavos tahoros. Be careful what we see, of course, because as how we see affects our mind. But to fall into a state of despair because of that. To make sure that we have shmiras einayim, to see good things, and to know that even though our machshavas may become filthy on occasion, remember we're neshamas, mechazik machshavos tavos, to have good ritzonos, to do the inyanim which bring out machshavos tavos. It can be corrected. The Gereva says that in this week's parsha, that in the beginning of the parasha we have the Bnei Yisrael, they take Nakam against Midian. And then the Torah tells us the halachos of Hagalas Kelim. And then it goes back to the whole sugya of Midyan and tells us about the korban they had to bring. So the Ger Rebbe asks, why is there a separation between the two sugyas in the beginning of the parsha, which dealt with Midyan, and at the end of the parsha? Why is Hagalas Kelim in there? So he says that when the Yidden saw that a keli has blios in it, that even in the keli there's blios, that it can become absorbed with treifas, yet it can be purged out by running through a fire, then they understood that even if a Jew has machshavos ro'os, it can be purged, it can be released if a person brings a korban, with the esh of the korban. They learned from the parsha of Hagalas Kelim that although it can penetrate the walls of the keli itself, it doesn't mean that it's there forever. It could be taken out. If a person involves himself in acts of esh, Torah, which is like esh, serving Hashem behislavus, tefillah be'esh, the more that a person serves the Kodesh Baruch Hu ba'avu, b'simcha, so then all the machshavos tmeos, which become absorbed in the walls of who we are, in the walls of our machshava, that's a hagalas kelim, to free ourselves from those machshavos ro'os and to have machshavos tovos and kedoshos. So this is the avoid of these days, as the parsha suggests, as the Zman suggests, machazik in knowing we're neshamas, to know that our machshavas are in our control, to work on machshavos tovos, and above all, shivisei shemlein agdi samit. The more that a person is machazik in these inyanim, shivisei chasun to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu with our eyes, the biyos gal tzedek meir minolim. Thank you.